It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. Third hour, Darren, Donica, Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. We head back down to Miami. We had Tim Hasselbeck down in South Beach last hour, a weekly chat with him. Chris Mason coming up at 1 o'clock. Mike Tirico at 1:30. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press is down there covering Super Bowl 54. Teresa, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren. How are you and Willie doing?
We're doing fantastic. How's Miami treating everybody?
Well, it's gorgeous. Now, the transportation is not great. Let's put it this way. They were trying to change things, I think, but it's just been a little weird. Like, if you want to go to the media center, the bus leaves hotels at, like, 7 in the morning because everyone wants to do that. If you're going to the Chiefs Wednesday and Thursday, you have to get up and be on a bus by 6 o'clock, at least at our hotel,
Wow. For
an 8 o'clock availability. And then, you know, like, the Niners got pushed back to, I think, they're 6 to 7 tonight. So, and when you go to one place, if you go to a team motel, then, yeah, like, they could take from the Chiefs to the separate hotel where Goodell is having his news conference here any minute, but that's not at the media center, which is where Radio Row is and where you could get your credentials and the NFL experience and all that fun stuff. So it's spread out, shall we say.
Yeah, we had Kendall Gammon on, who does the Chiefs. He's a former player, longtime player in the league, and does the color. He's the color analyst on radio for the Chiefs in the first hour, and he's down there, and he was kind of saying the same thing. It's been a little bit tough to navigate and get around the city to get from point A to point B. We all, you know, we've talked this week, unfortunately, about the tragic news that came out on Sunday. And, you know, when you talk about that, it leads to, you know, we all remember those certain stories, whether it's Kobe Bryant, whether it's Steve McNair, certain stories that whenever it hits, we always remember what we were doing, how we found out. That day is pretty vivid, usually in our memory banks for the rest of our lives. Believe it or not, today would have been Rob Baronis' 42nd birthday today, and I think is another one that we all remember when we learned of the news of the tragedy of Rob Baronis in this town over that weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, like Jimmy Wyatt had just gone to the Vanderbilt game and then driven to Cincinnati and had just gotten to bed maybe an hour or so, if that, when he got a call about that horrible news. And I had covered the Vanderbilt game. I didn't get to bed till like 2:30 that night. And my colleague was waking me up at like 5:30 to let me know about the news. He tried texting, but you know, I had my do not disturb on. And finally he just called me and that came through and woke me up. And so, yes, I got to work before 6 o'clock that morning, you know, hoping to learn that it was not correct. Unfortunately it was. And so I worked half the day that day, and, you know, Titan fans remember, you know, they lost in Cincinnati that day. When you hear something like that, and it's somebody you know, having to go out and play a game just hours later, it's really hard as a human being to deal with that.
No doubt about it. In fact, I remember the next morning I had to host with Floyd Reese and I think Derek Mason. Yeah, I think D. Mace was there too. We were doing the pregame show at the downtown Omni. Down there, and I remember having to talk about that morning because it was obviously still fresh. A lot of people were hearing it for the first time, so just went crazy to think that today Rob Baronis would have been 42 today. So what has kind of been the theme down there in Miami? What are you curious about heading into this game on Sunday?
Oh, that's a great question. I think uppermost for me, I mean, the 49ers have had a defense that's among the best pass defenses in a decade in the NFL. So, you know, very, very good on defense. We saw what they could do to the Packers in the NFC Championship game with Raheem Mostert just kind of running all over the Packers, looking a little bit like Derrick Henry in a way, at least with the numbers we put up. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Titans, we saw him, you know, use his legs, use his arm, and, you know, before you know it, boom, it's a pretty easy win. And that, you know, his tiptoe dance down the sideline to get to that touchdown right before halftime against the Titans, and then he throws a 60-yarder in the second half. I'll say this, I've been picking the Chiefs to win this game because, you know, this is a team that, yes, they added some players, but This is a team that should have been playing in this game a year ago, if not for D. Ford jumping off sides, right? So, or possibly, you know, they were in overtime in their own building in the AFC Championship game. So, you know, they're a year delayed maybe getting to this point, but certainly they are ready. I'm trying to remember, I think it was Tyreek Hill Monday night said, yes, we understand that we could help Andy Reid be the first, you know, we could be the first team to finally get Andy Reid a championship. So, you know, they know what's on the line. And you know, hey, the Niners, Kyle Shanahan, he's been in this position himself with the Falcons in Houston, 3 years ago? So, you know, there's a lot of that going around. But Mahomes, man, I saw the stat. He's like 5-0 going up against, you know, top passing defenses in his career or something like that. So I'm going to lean to that young man.
No doubt about it, and you should. Can you believe this is just his second full year as a starter? And here he has him in this position.
I know. It feels like he's been around a little bit longer than that, doesn't it, Darren? Because it just feels like we've been talking about him for such a long time. But, you know, he's the defending NFL MVP. You know, Lamar Jackson probably wins that award when it's announced on Saturday night. But for the moment, it's Mahomes. And, you know, let's face it, if he hadn't had that little injury stretch with his knee and his ankle, then, you know, he might have put up his own case to be the, you know, the defending champ and to win it again. So, yeah, a lot of poise from this young man. And, you know, it just does not feel like that moment's too big for him at all. He feels ready for the stage.
Can you imagine if the Titans had been able to pull off the win, the quarterbacks? I mean, history will show. Like you just mentioned, the MVP, then you had Tom Brady before that, Patrick Mahomes. You know, in 5 or 10 years, that could look incredible, just the playing those three quarterbacks in three playoff games. I'm just curious, Teresa, how Mike Vrabel, you know, seeing all the football that he's seen, where he puts that performance by Patrick Mahomes in his file, in how well you can play the position, because he's so unique.
Well, he is, and, you know, let's put it this way. I don't think anyone specifically got a great answer from Mike after that game, because that wasn't exactly a topic I think he was willing to dwell on, but it absolutely is, because let's face it, they had a lead in that game. The Titans seemingly had control, and with him going down that sideline, getting a touchdown, it just kind of seemed like at that point they grabbed momentum. And, you know, his ability to hurt you with his legs, with his feet, you know, he didn't run this much this year. You know, certainly no one has ever run like Lamar Jackson did. But, you know, Mahomes, I don't know how you defend those guys as a defensive coach. We saw Dean Pease and the Titans do it against Lamar Jackson. But I'm going to blame a little bit of the rust, and we'll see how maybe they do it this next season, because they're going to be playing the Ravens in the regular season. But, you know, Mahomes, he seems to be on a point where a path to put himself among the special quarterbacks in NFL history.
Teresa, I'm curious just your observations. I mean, you've been going to press conferences all over the place for years and years, but you've watched Mike Vrabel from the time he's taken over here to now, and it does seem like he's gotten more comfortable in the setting. What have been your observations in how he has progressed just with the way he deals with the media at the helm?
Oh, there's absolutely been a learning curve, growth curve. You know, as much as you can talk to the media as a player, and he certainly did, he'd been to Super Bowls as a player, it's a lot different when, you know, you're the head coach and different questions are being thrown at you, and you have to talk to the media, Lord, almost every day. You know, let's face it, when we're in a regular season mode, whether it's with the Predators or the Titans, sometimes we reporters spend more time with the coaches, it seems, than our own families at times. So when you start to recognize the faces and you know the people who are coming out, that, I think, helps you kind of expect maybe what some of the questions are. And he's definitely grown, you know, he's built his own maybe process of answering questions. And, you know, if there's a question he doesn't like, you know, he'll let you know. So not that there's anything wrong with that. We all ask questions that coaches are not going to like at times, and that's their right to answer them how they like. But you can kind of see a comfort level there, certainly. You know, we all remember the moment in December after the Houston loss where, you know, he made a couple of comments on things, topics he didn't really want to address. But that's part of the game.
Teresa, I want to also get your perspective on something else that's going on with the team that you cover. You head on down to Memphis at times to watch the Grizzlies. They have not been on the radar much the last few years, but all of a sudden, they've got a heck of a nucleus. I'm just I'm curious, your observation when you go down there and start to see the atmosphere and the hope that they're starting to get with that young talent.
Willie, I'll say this. You know, there was an awful lot of talk, you know, that this was a team in the rebuilding process. You know, they finally gotten Mike Conley out of the building, all the old pieces, and this was a new roster. And let's put it this way, the rebuilding process has been accelerated tremendously. I mean, they're in the eighth spot. I think they started 6-16. But right now, if they win tonight, they're at 500 for the season. They've been holding down the eighth seed, which puts them in the postseason. They've been in that spot for about a week, week and a half now. So, and if you watch SportsCenter at night, you actually see some of what used to be an incredibly rare thing, Grizzly highlights. That's partly because John Morant keeps doing these, you know, buzzworthy, you know, clips that you've got to see, you know, the lobs, the dunks, the flying through the air for lobs and things. So you have to see this kid, and he's showing up. But the thing is, Jaren Jackson Jr. was the fourth overall pick a year before him, and he's kind of growing into that role. Brandon Clark was the second first rounder that they had this year as a rookie. Dylan Brooks. It's a young core, and it's amazing to watch. They're coming together way ahead of schedule.
Teresa, who do you think is going to win? Give us the key to the game.
It's going to be the Chiefs. I expect the Niners to, you know, try something with Jimmy Garoppolo. We've seen Jimmy GQ, you know, throw the ball pretty well at times. We all remember the game against the Saints, but you know, the fact of the matter is, I'm still going to go with the Chiefs. You know, they've got, you know, they brought in a bunch of defensive guys to help them. They got the Honey Badger, and more importantly, Patrick Mahomes is healthy, and he's got guys like Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and Damian Williams. There's just so many weapons on the Chiefs side of the ball, and let's not forget that the Niners were, you know, really close, few plays in the regular season finale from being the fifth seed in the NFC. So I'm going to take the Chiefs.
I happen to agree with you. By the way, how have you handled not being able to ask the first question in every press conference?
Well, you know what? It's okay, because the problem with asking the question in each news conference with the Titans and Mike Vrabel, you got to have that question every day.
Yep.
So this has allowed me to work on some other things.
Well said. Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Enjoy Miami. Enjoy the game.
Thank you, Willie and Darren.
All right. That is Teresa Walker, Associated Press, down in Miami. When we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters at Bridgestone Arena on August the 18th. But you've got to answer our Super Bowl question. We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell speaking to the media right now in Miami. We'll have some of that at the bottom of the hour. It looks like Greg Olsen of the Panthers. I'm very curious to see what they're going to look like moving forward, because it seems like everybody has pegged Greg Olsen, the big tight end. He's had a spectacular career as someone who's about to retire, but he has not made anything official. There's no official announcement of him retiring. Fox Sports, evidently, is saying, hey, we're ready to offer him a job in the booth, which I think he'd be very good at. So you do wonder, what is Greg Olsen going to do?
He would seem to have a lot of parallels to Jason Witten, right? Just has played forever. Always seems to be able to be effective when he's out there, right? But it's getting harder and harder to stay on the field. But it is remarkable how he's just got it figured out.
So we'll be curious to see what Greg Olsen does, because he is not officially retired, but it looks like Fox Sports is ready to make him a job offer. I was trying to see some other things that's floating out there. There's a lot of news starting to hit. What was the other thing that I saw? Like I said, we're going to play a little bit of Roger Goodell at the bottom of the hour. Don't forget, the Predators are in Washington tonight to take on the Capitals. That's a 6:30 start, pregame at 5:30, and I've lost what else I had seen, Willie. So do you have a question for us?
I do.
All right. This is for tickets to see Roger Waters at Bridgestone Arena on August the 18th. But you must answer this Super Bowl question first. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. The first person to answer this question correctly will be at Roger Waters on August 18th. Here goes.
All right. The last Super Bowl that was played in Miami was the Colts and Peyton Manning defeating the Chicago Bears 29-17. This would be the Lovie Smith.
I don't think that was the last time.
Has it been there since then?
Yeah.
Okay, it was a time. Let me.
It was a rainy day.
It was
very, very rainy Super Bowl.
The game was. There's been many played in Miami, going way back to the first few. But all right. So let me. What's been? When was it in Miami since then? Was there one since then?
Saints Colts in 2000. Well, it'd been 2010, the 2009 season.
It was there in 2007 and 2009. That can't be right.
Yeah. That was the one.
The onside kick.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Miami?
In Miami.
They had the Super Bowl there two times in 4 years or whatever that would be? Well, let's put that aside for now as we research that.
Okay. Let's look that up.
We're going to go to the Colts victory. Tony Dungy, Peyton Manning over the Bears, 29-17. Here is the question. This is under the category of names that come and go. Can you remember the names that come and go and who was where when? There was a running back in that game for the Colts.
Saints Colts was indeed in Miami.
So it was there in
good call,
2006
Elijah.
And 2009?
2010.
Yeah. Well, as a Saints fan, I can't forget.
Yeah. Very interesting. Wow. All right. There was a running back for the Colts that year that ran for 100 yards in that game. Can you name the running back?
In that Super Bowl victory over the
Bears. Super Bowl victory, this running back rushed for over 100 yards in the game to spark the Colts to the title.
There's your question.
Can you name this running back?
737-1025, 737-1025. Answer that correctly, and you'll be headed over to Bridgestone Arena on August 18th to see Roger Waters. What running back for the Colts rushed for over 100 yards in that Colts-Bears Super Bowl where the Colts won? It was Peyton Manning's first time. He won a Super Bowl. It rained. I actually covered that Super Bowl, and it was a sloppy, sloppy day on that Super Bowl. So who was the Colts running back that rushed for over 100 yards? Do that, and you're going to Roger Waters.
You might remember in that game, the opening kickoff, run back for a touchdown. Remember that one? For the Bears?
Was that Hester?
Yeah. Devin Hester ran the opening kickoff back for a touchdown.
He was so good.
He was very good.
Should have been a Titan.
The Bears actually had the lead in that game for a good while. Got off to a good start, and then Rex Grossman just did not, just couldn't keep it going. Limited offense. Very good defense.
Limited offense is a good way of putting it.
And the Colts ended up winning it 29-17.
By the way, have you seen the story on Ed Belfour?
On who?
Ed Belfour.
Ed Belfour, the goalie?
Belfour.
The former goalie.
The crazy guy. Yeah.
No, I have not.
She got arrested up in Bowling Green, Kentucky?
I did not.
Old drunken disorder in his hotel. I don't know what he was doing in Bowling Green. I know that he's been, I think he came up with a whiskey. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. I think this was put out there at the Winter Classic, I think. This had just been put out. But yeah, I don't know if
this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Yeah, he was arrested a couple days ago in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Caused a little property damage.
A ruckus.
At the hotel.
A ruckus.
And was intoxicated.
Ed Belfour.
Slurred speech, bloodshot eyes.
Good grief. I just wonder how he got connected with people. What was he doing in Bowling Green?
I don't know. Maybe it had something to do with his whiskey. I don't know. His bourbon. I don't know. He's got some. I need to look a little bit more into what he's put out there. A drink. It's a bottle. Belfour. That's literally the name of it. I've seen pictures.
Okay.
So, anyway. All right. We've got a winner.
We do have a winner.
Jordan Jones, as the lines blew up.
Good quickness.
Jordan correctly. Well, I think Elijah took some calls. I don't know. I don't think Jordan was the first one.
Was he the first?
Oh, no. Jordan might have been like the eighth or ninth.
Yeah.
I think we got about seven Joseph Addai guesses, which is close because he was on the team.
I'll tell you what. If you knew this right off the top of your head, that was pretty good. Because, yes, Joseph Addai was on the team. He had 77 yards in that game on 19 carries. But Dominic Rhodes, 21 carries for 113 yards and a touchdown. By the way, Addai also had 10 receptions for 66 yards. So Addai was a very smart answer, but it was not the correct answer. Guys who used to be on your fantasy team, Darren, they come and go. Here's another one for you. Do you know who the Bears' featured running back was on that team? He had 112 rushing yards.
By the way, Dominic Rhodes was an undrafted guy. How about that? Ran for over 100 yards in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's when the trend started happening that, you know, more de-emphasizing the main featured tailback. Right, yep. It was starting to happen, especially when you had Peyton Manning or Tom Brady as your quarterback. You know, they didn't
That's right.
They stopped paying the big money. They let Edgerrin James go at a certain point, right? So, do you remember the tailback for the Bears? He had 112 rushing yards in this game. Another guy that you probably haven't thought of in years, but at the time he would have been a featured guy on somebody's fantasy roster every Sunday.
Cedric Benson?
Nope. Cedric Benson was dressed and in the game, had two carries for minus 1 yards.
I don't know. Tell me.
Thomas Jones.
Thomas Jones. Wow. Yeah.
Pretty good for a few
years,
he
was.
Right?
I mean, no, he had his little window.
Yeah.
Thomas Jones out of Virginia. Is that right?
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah.
Really bad offensive team. I think if you ranked like some of the worst offensive lineups in the history of the modern Super Bowl.
That was shaky.
Rex Grossman, Bernard Berry, and Thomas Jones-led offense might take the cake.
Yeah.
That was the year that Jay Cutler hurt his knee in the championship game. Remember the whole scuttlebutt? No, wait, that's not what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking that was a couple years later.
That
eventually,
was later. Because he didn't play and he got roasted for not playing.
Did they? I'm trying to get my timeline together. Was Grossman after or before Cutler?
Before.
So they replaced Grossman with Cutler? Was that the idea, trading for him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because remember he started.
In Denver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, that might have been before. That was right around the time Cutler was drafted, right? So the evolution. The Bears tried to fix the offense for a long time.
So congratulations to Jordan Jones for correctly getting that. So good job of him. We'll come back here a little bit of what Roger Goodell is having has had to say down in Miami today. There's usually some newsworthy things that come up. In fact, I've seen some topics that he's touched on. So we'll hear a little about that. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, talking to the media today down in Miami, getting ready for Super Bowl 54 on Sunday, Chiefs and 49ers. He does this every year, the middle of the week, leading up to the Super Bowl, and usually there's some pretty good topics that he'll get asked about. So let's check in and hear a little bit from Roger Goodell today.
We're only one game away last year from going to the Super Bowl, and went on to win an impressive 4 straight divisional title this season. We say football is about family, and we have two of the best in sports in the Super Bowl. They happen to be led by women, their first matchup of its kind. The Chiefs are guided by the Hunt family, Norma and Clark, who carry on the legacy of team founder Lamar, who famously coined the phrase Super Bowl. Norma has attended every one of the 54 Super Bowls. when she gets here this week. And she hopes to leave Miami with her first Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi Trophy, in 50 years when the Chiefs last won the Super Bowl. And we have the 49ers back in the Super Bowl with the leadership of Denise, John, and Jed York. The 49ers won the Super Bowl after the NFL's 75th season here in Miami and are hoping to win on Sunday to cap off our 100th season. It should be a very fun and exciting day for all of us. I know you have some questions, so I'll be happy to take them now. Yes.
Now, Roger, Barry Wilner from Associated Press. With as much effort as the NFL has put into limiting injuries, an AP study yesterday shows concussions are up and the players injured most overall are at the speed positions, wide receiver, cornerback, safety. With player safety in mind, does it make sense to add a 17th regular season game to the schedule as has been discussed in labor talks? Thanks, Roger.
Sure, Barry. Listen, safety has been at the forefront and our number one priority of our players. And over the last 10 to 15 years in particular, I think we've had over 50 rule changes to make our game safer. We've made changes in equipment, particularly with the helmet. We have 6 new models coming out this year, all which will raise the innovation and, frankly, the quality of the helmets that our players are wearing. In addition, obviously, we're working on research. We've got data that proves which techniques should be taken out of the game, so it affects how we change our rules. And, of course, for us, the data is the key component to what we want to do is changing the season. We don't look at it just as do we have a 17th game. We look at the entire season, the off-season, obviously training camp, how we prepare our players to get ready for the season, how we practice during the season. So all of those changes and taking techniques out of those games have made our game safer. As you point out, the number one injuries are the lower extremity injuries. We continue to apply the same model we have done with concussions to reduce them by 30%. You mentioned that concussions are up, but they're up only slightly and statistically insignificant from a very low last year of close to 30%. So we have what we think is a new baseline that all of our changes will continue to work to try to reduce that further. So we believe we have made the game safer, we've made it better, and we believe that we can restructure the season in a way that will be smart for the future of the game. But those discussions, as you point out, are in the context of our labor negotiations. They're in the context of working with our medical people. And we've shared all that. We continue to have that kind of dialogue with our players, and we'll continue to have that. Yes.
Commissioner Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. Bienvenido a Miami. As you know, it's been a decade since the game was played in South Florida. How would you say Miami and the Miami Dolphins are doing as hosts? And what is the potential for the game and future games to be returning?
It only took the second question for that to come out, Armando. Listen, Miami, there's a reason why it's hosting its 11th Super Bowl, the most in NFL history. They are a great community. They know how to put on big events. This is a with a new stadium, and Hard Rock Stadium, and I call it a new stadium because I think the work that's been done here by Stephen Ross and his team have made that into a high-quality stadium that I think everybody here is anxious to showcase, as well as this great community. So they know how to do this. They have an experienced team that is hosting the Super Bowl host committee, and we believe that we'll be back here many times going into the future. It's just a great spot for the Super Bowl, and we thank the people here for all the work they've done. Yes.
Hi, Roger. Lindsay Jones from The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 5 years since the Ray Rice incident and your pledge to get it right regarding cases of domestic violence and sexual assault. In that time, what have you learned about the challenges of investigating these cases and adjudicating them? And related to that, what is the status update of the investigation into Antonio Brown?
The first one, I think we've learned a great deal.
It's a complex set of issues that are involved with domestic violence. There are things that we have learned as a league. I think there are things that we have learned along with our experts in the field to try to understand how we can educate our players, our coaches, our executives. All of us in the NFL go through training every year to understand better how we can handle ourselves better, how we can look for signs if these types of things are happening around us. So I believe as a league we have been incredibly responsive. I think we've made changes in our league that have been very, what I would call, productive in trying to make sure that these incidents don't occur. But we live in a world where, unfortunately, it does. And what we have to do is continually stay ahead of our policy and try to make sure that we're doing everything possible to prevent these terrible situations from occurring. And I think we're leading the way. And I hear that from experts in the field, that the NFL has stood up and done the right thing, knowing that it's a very complex issue. What was your second question, Antonio? I think, you know, in Antonio's situation, I think the first thing for all of us is to think about the well-being of Antonio, to understand what Antonio is going through. We don't talk about the wellness of our players publicly, but I would tell you that you can be assured that the NFL and the NFLPA have a tremendous amount of resources that are available to all players. They are going to be made available to Antonio, and that we want to help get him on the right track and get him in a position where he is in a zone where he thinks he can be successful in life. And we are confident that can happen, and we want to work to do that. And from our standpoint, that's the first step. And the first step is making sure that we're doing everything to help Antonio. Yes.
Mike Jones, Jewish Saturday Sports. There's another frustrating hiring cycle for minority coaches. What do you see? I know that there's the Rooney Rule, there's different initiatives that the league has taken, but what's it going to take for minority coaches to actually have more legitimate opportunities to climb those ranks and grow as head coaches, coordinators, and front office officials?
Yeah, Mike, it's clearly we are not where we want to be on this level. You know, we have a lot of work that's gone into not only the Rooney Rule, but our policies overall. It's clear we need to change and do something different. There's no reason to expect that we're going to have a different outcome next year without those kinds of changes. And we've already begun engaging in those changes, not just with our diversity committee, not just with the Fritz Pollard Alliance, but others, and trying to figure out what steps we can take next that would lead to better outcomes. And it's clear we're all committed to doing that. And we have to make those changes. So we will have a series of meetings, which we've already scheduled clearly over the next month, to get that kind of dialogue going, to continue the dialogue and try to determine what are the solutions so we can have those better outcomes. Yes.
Roger, Sam Farmer of Los Angeles Times. There are new stadiums opening this fall in Los Angeles and Las Vegas. My question pertains specifically to Los Angeles.
I'm surprised, Sam.
Yeah. the league departed from tradition this season by opening with Packers-Bears in honor of the 100th season. Has consideration been given to kicking off the season in Los Angeles? If so, how might the NFL mitigate the traffic nightmare of a 5 p.m. kickoff at midweek, considering a half-filled stadium would not be a great look?
Sam, from our standpoint, we look at not only celebrating the Super Bowl champion, but as you point out, we are going to be relaunching two teams in Los Angeles and one in Las Vegas. In addition, we'll be celebrating our 100th birthday, September 17th. So when we're sitting down, which we've already begun, looking at the schedule for next year, our hope would be to create the biggest and best platform for all of those events. They're very significant to the future of the league. We are thrilled to be back in Los Angeles with two teams, and we're thrilled to have a great new stadium, which is going to set a new benchmark in stadiums. Same with Las Vegas, a new market for us where we're launching the Raiders in Las Vegas. I was out there just a week ago. The stadium is extraordinary. I think it's going to be a great new home for the Raiders. And so we have to, in our job, is to put the biggest stage together for all of those teams at that moment. And so we will do that is obviously through scheduling. We do have the flexibility to move the Super Bowl champ to either Thursday or Sunday, but we are required by policy that it'll be one or the other. So we could very well start in Los Angeles on a Sunday and to avoid that problem. We are going to be playing primetime games in Los Angeles at some point in time, but the likelihood of around the first event, as you know, there's a period of time where there's an acclimation for everybody getting in and out of the stadium. But I think it's going to be such a huge event, I'm not worried about a lack of fans there.
Thank you. Hi, Mr. Goodell. This is Enrique Burak from Televisa, TUDN in Mexico. Could you tell us about the experience of the NFL going back to Mexico? It was this season, this year. I guess Estadio Azteca gave good luck to the Chiefs for their Super Bowl. And number two, the NFL has plans, so Mexico City will host more NFL games in the future.
Yes, by the way, we had a great experience this past November down in Mexico. It was just a great event, and we love being there, and we look forward to being back. In fact, we are proud to be able to say we're going to be there for two more games over the next 2 years. Our fan base down there continues to grow. They become more passionate. Our partners down there have been extraordinary, and we want to continue that. We want to build on that. So we look forward to being there over the next 2 years, and I would assume we'll be announcing our schedule sometime over the next 60 days down there.
In the middle, yes. Roger. Uh-huh. Hey, Ryan O'Halloran, Denver Post. Broncos president Joe Ellis recently said that bowl and family unity is not required by the league, but is necessary, in his view, for Brittany Bolin, presumably, to become the next controlling owner. What's your stance on unity being a requirement for the trustees? And as a follow-up, at what point is it best for the team just to be put up for sale?
Well, Ryan, it starts with what Pat Bolin's wishes were. He established the trust to make sure there was an orderly transition of the franchise if something should happen to him. Unfortunately, that did. And Pat wanted to make sure the franchise was in good hands, good management. He understood the importance of the league policies, and he supported that. He was one of the best league men I knew, and I talked to him probably every day, both as commissioner in my earlier years and also as chief operating officer. He wants his franchise, the Denver Broncos, to continue to have that success. And that's why he set up the trust the way he did. And so for us, we want to make sure that his wishes are followed. I don't think he'd be happy about the public disputes that are going on. Unity is something that I think as an organization in the NFL, you have one person who makes a decision on behalf of the ownership group. And that's a vital and principled point in our ownership policy. And that is what Pat understood. He wanted that. And we need to have that in the case of all franchises. So that at some point in time will have to develop in the context of the Broncos. Yes.
Hi, Roger. Liz Habib from Fox 11 in Los Angeles. As you know, Los Angeles is mourning the death of Kobe Bryant. There are tributes all over the world. I have the statement from the NFL on Kobe Bryant's passing. I wonder if you would expand on that a little bit. Have you met Kobe personally? And then secondly, is the league planning on doing a tribute during the Super Bowl?
Well, first, I don't think just Los Angeles is mourning the loss of Kobe Bryant. Kobe was a special person. I did have the opportunity to meet him. He obviously brought a lot to our world, and I think all of us not only feel for the tragic events to his family, but as well as everybody else who was a passenger on the helicopter. It's hard to understand, and it's hard to process. I'm proud of as the story unfolded, unfortunately, on Sunday, the way our players, the way our league responded, including a moment of silence during the game with Kobe's picture up, and the way the fans responded to that. We did that again on Monday night. We started here on Monday night. So we as the league have been very responsive and I think respectful of somebody that contributed so much to sports. We also lost one of our own legends last night, Chris Dolman, who I personally was very fond of and meant a great deal to me and the league in general. So I think both of those individuals will be seen on Sunday in some fashion in a respectful way.
Roger, Mark Maskey from the Washington Post. You mentioned the CBA negotiations earlier. With the NFLPA having a meeting tomorrow of the player reps, what's your level of optimism that a deal will be completed in the coming weeks? And along with that, from the view of the league and ownership, does 17 games have to be part of a deal for it to be completed at this point?
Mark, as I mentioned before, we're not going to negotiate here in a press conference. So that's not, you know, something that I'm going to take a position on. We've been having incredibly productive dialogue. I think we've made a lot of progress. It's now 7 or 8 months since we began those discussions more formally. In each of those discussions has been open dialogue. It's been thoughtful. I think we've addressed difficult issues that face our league going forward and looking forward. And I think both the players and management and everyone in the negotiation have worked to try to find creative solutions to make the NFL better. And that's what you want. The process will close when the process closes, when all of us feel comfortable that we reach an agreement that we want to go forward with. I don't know when that'll be, but I think it's more important to get it right. Yes.
Roger, over here, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bob Glauber from Newsday. How are you?
I'm good.
You've been at this since 2006 as commissioner. Have you given any thought to how much longer you do want to continue? And along those lines, do you feel like once the CBA is done and a new set of television contracts are signed, that your work is done?
Well, one thing I've learned from this job is your work is never done. I believe there are always opportunities, challenges that this league will have to address. And I want to put our league in the best possible position. I do believe that leadership is important. And that consistent leadership in some fashion is critical for the league. And so succession will be an important part of it. But I haven't thought about retiring. It's not on my agenda. We have too much to do. And I think too many great things are happening in this league right now. But at some point, I am going to retire, Bob. And that day is probably closer than it was yesterday. But I have... I'm not focused on that at all, Bob. I'm 100% committed to this job.
Roger, Vic Carucci, hey, Buffalo Ben. News.
Hi.
About a year ago, the ownership of the Buffalo Bills commissioned a study about what to do with its stadium situation, either new construction or another upgrade of the circa 1973 New Era Field. What's your understanding, league's understanding of where that stands from the study, if you could shed light on that? And also, what is your and the league's position on what should the next steps be for a facility in Buffalo?
Well, Vic, as you know, I've been involved with negotiations in Buffalo going back into the 90s. And consistently through that time period, we have focused on the stadium and the importance of the stadium in the context of that, and the need to continue to renovate and or look to see whether a new stadium is a better answer for the long term. And that has been contemplated in the leases right up until, I think, the most recent one, which I believe is 2016. But that is coming to a close. At that point in time, I'm hoping that it will continue, and I expect that it will continue to be a collaborative process between the public sector and obviously the Bills. We all want the Buffalo Bills to continue to be in Buffalo, to be successful. A stadium that is going to be competitive with other stadiums around the league is going to be important in that context. And I think everyone's committed to that, whether it's a new significant renovation or whether it's a completely new facility in a new location. But I think those are things that the group has to settle collectively and to address over the next several months, if not sooner.
Right.
Yes.
Nancy Armour with USA Today Sports. Mm-hmm. You'd mentioned that in celebration of the 100th anniversary that you have focused on players past and present. I'm wondering why there was not more done to recognize the 12 years that African-American players were effectively banned from the league, and does more need to be done to address that part of the league's history?
Well, it's part of our history, Nancy. We don't walk away from that. It's not necessarily something that we look back at and look at with pride. We look at what we have done since that time period and what we've tried to do to make sure that our league is diverse. Over 70% of our players are African American. As we talked about earlier, we're trying to make our front offices diverse. We're trying to make our coaching staffs diverse. There's always going to be more work to be done, and it's necessary work, and it's important. We believe that diversity makes us better as a league. And that's something that we're focusing on going into the next 100 years.
There you go. There's a lot of Commissioner Roger Goodell today in Miami. He has wrapped things up about 15 minutes ago, but that was most of what he talked about today. And tell you what, he is a riot. He is a laugh a minute. Funny, funny guy. Not really.
I was going to say.
But some interesting topics. But
well, one at the end there, you know, and we don't have a whole lot of time to get into it, but you know, the question was asked about the stadium situation in Buffalo. Of course, the original structure, as it was referenced, 1973, and they've done a number of different upgrades, renovations since then. But you know, they started talking about a stadium commission to figure out what's the best thing to do here. And I just wonder how soon it will be before you start getting this kind of question. You know, that was a member of the Buffalo media, a guy that we've had on our show a few times before, Vic Carucci.
Yep.
But what would the commissioner say if he was asked about the Titan Stadium? You know?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, here we are. We could have had the same question a year ago, 2 years ago. We'll probably have it next year at any because nothing seems to ever come out about it. But we know at some point it's got to be addressed, right?
It's a really good question.
More so
know.
Than it has been to this point,
yes.
Where it's basically, well, the World Cup's coming down the road, perhaps. And if it did, they would have to do something. But it's got to be. There's got to be something.
I would have liked to have heard that question.
Yeah.
And see how he answered it. I don't know. I don't know what he would have said. I don't know if he has any inkling of the situation here. I have no idea. I mean, when's the last time Roger Goodell was here?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, Gary Bettman was just in the house
right
on Monday. When's the last time Roger Goodell
was
here?
Well, the draft. I'm sure he was here. I mean, well, we know he was here for the draft.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
I'm talking about for an actual game day. When was the last time he was here?
I don't know if he came to a game this year.
I don't either. I feel like we would have known. But I honestly don't know when's the last time he's made his rounds through Nashville on a game day.
And there were of course questions about the whole ownership situation that they've addressed since then. But I'm just curious about the long range thing. And that's what you get when the commissioner does his press conference at the Super Bowl. You have literally questions from the media from all around the world. You had a guy representing Mexico. You had a guy representing the Bills. You had a question about domestic violence. I mean, it is really a broad spectrum. So you never know what you're going to get exactly. So there would be nothing to prevent Eric Bacharach or Teron Davenport from asking a question about that if they can get their question in. I'm just curious what the answer would be.
He was asked about Toronto as a potential market for the NFL, and he said he loved the idea of Toronto as a potential market, but obviously they've got one real big important thing that they would have to figure out first. It'd be a stadium.
Yeah.
Be kind of important.
When the Sky Dome was new, might have been on par with plenty of NFL stadiums at the time in 1989 when it was opened. But a lot of time has gone on since then.
No doubt about it. We'll come back. Start the fourth and final hour with Chris Mason. We do that next.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.